You're listening to Vocalo. It's Nudia Hernandez. And this past weekend, I sat down with Drama at the gorgeous Three Top Lounge before their show at Salt Shed. It was super jam-packed. So many people came out for their show, despite the weather being less than ideal. But here is my conversation with them. Now, it's been 2 years since you last performed at the Salt Shed.
Yes.
Now, the last time I saw you guys here, it was the best night of my life.
Ooh.
It was Drama, Rick Wilson, Derek Carter. So much has happened since that. Are you guys excited to start touring again?
We are. We're so happy to be able to start it here in Chicago, too. It's amazing.
When you guys are touring, what is like the number one thing that's on your rider right now? You don't need to give us the whole thing, but what's the thing that needs to be there? Is it something, is it like green Skittles or is it something weird?
No. Drama's not that kind of band. We like healthy stuff.
Ginger shots,
juices,
Harmless Harvest coconut water.
Yeah.
Sparkling Topo Chico. Yeah.
There's actually no alcohol on our rider.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great. That's the healthiest rider I've ever heard in my life.
Green juices.
This is your third studio album, Platonic Romance. Let's make some noise if you love Platonic Romance. What a great album, guys.
Thank you.
Had you guys been working on this for a couple years? How long did this album take to make?
I think officially maybe two years.
Yeah, I would say two years in total.
But then one of the songs, Here With Me, we started that in 2017 on New Year's Eve. And so it's almost like 9 years. 9 years.
Wow.
So like, even though we had the idea to start making an album 2 years ago, I feel like this album we really have been working on our entire lives.
Yeah, the process with us making music is we don't go into a project, okay, we're going to make an album now. We kind of always are working on an album.
Yeah.
So we'll go through songs and say, you know what, we're going to pull a song that we made in 2015 and 2016 and just work on it and produce it and like maybe like write a little bit more to it and kind of bring it to life. But we're always writing, and we pick like a lot of the songs that you guys are hearing from this album we made a couple years ago, or made like Savannah was probably the most recent song that we just made.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, a lot of the songs are like in an archive. We have, I think, what, 200 songs almost?
Yeah.
That have not been released before.
Yeah.
So
wow.
We
lock up that hard drive.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of, you mentioned Savannah. Mm. Make some noise if you love Savannah. That's been stuck in my head all day. I was in my Uber. I was like, he's a good man, Savannah.
I love that one. It's so fun.
So I had a question about that because that is a famous line from a 1995 movie.
Yes, Waiting to Exhale.
Waiting to Exhale. But in that movie, he wasn't really a good man.
No, that's the joke though. That's why it's funny. Because over, since then, on the internet, if anyone's been paying attention, it's become a term of endearment for when you actually do find a good man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I thought it was funny. I also thought that there was enough songs about how men are trash. And I have been lucky enough to work with some of the greatest men in the music industry, because the music industry is a very scary place and there's a lot of evil men. And luckily, I have been surrounded by good men, such like this guy right here.
Make some noise for that really quick.
And they've never asked me to become anything other than a greater version of myself. So I'm very grateful for that. And I just thought that the good guys needed an anthem that they could inspire them to be better.
Yes. So just to clear it up, he is a good man in the Drama song.
In the Drama song, he is a good man.
When you look at the music video and the music video you guys make, what is the creative process? Are you guys like, let's go on a farm? Do you guys just get out there? You're like, let's get a camera and go somewhere.
Have you heard the song On the Way by Drama? We figure it out on the way. We have ideas and we brainstorm and we brainstorm and we brainstorm, and then we show up and life's and we just go with the flow and figure it out.
Yeah, the creative process is always nice when you leave a little bit of room for experimentation and trying new things out. Because if you plan everything to the T, you're not leaving any room for anything else. And usually never goes the way that's planned out. So we definitely have like a system that we like, you know, we come up with some ideas, we get on a phone call, we meet up in person, we come up with some ideas, we include the director.
Yeah.
And then we go out there and we shoot, and then we figure it out as we go, almost, you know. Yeah. But we everything that you guys see is pretty much funded by us. We choose the director. We're very much involved in the A to Z like process, you know. We don't shoot really fancy videos that are like $20,000. We shoot our videos are like $2,000-$3,000, you know.
Yeah, if that.
Because we because we really do enjoy being creative and. You know, this is like where we come from, essentially. So
we've also known and been working, like the director that did Savannah did walk away as well. So we've been working with him since the beginning, and Niall's known him since before I've known Niall. So it's really easy when you're working with friends, because then there's no, like, there's no love lost if you say, what about this? And they're like, that's a stupid idea. I'm like, okay, moving on. Like, everyone's just like, what's going to be the smartest, most efficient way to shoot this? Sorry.
Speaking about your guys' beginnings, I heard recently that you remember one of your first like tours, like there was only like three people in the crowd.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. we would play to St. Louis one time and there was nobody in the crowd. I remember we were playing and this lady peeked her head around the door to, like, she was eating dinner and she was like, and then went back to eating dinner. And I was like, you know, I'm just chopped liver, no big deal.
I mean, just imagine driving all the way to St. Louis. And no one's showing up. You're just like, this sucks. But it's a part of the process.
Yeah.
Every show is practice. Every show is another time or another day for you to like understand your music and how to perform it. And, you know, most artists would be like, there's not one of my shows. Fuck that or whatever it is. But we took it as like practice. Like, we're going to go out there. We're going to do it. Even if it's for nobody, or even just for the bartenders, we're going to play our best show. You know, and that's the mentality that you need to have as an artist, is you need to be able to, whether you have two people in the crowd or 3,000 people in the crowd, you have to perform at your best. And that if you start thinking that way from the beginning in whatever project that you do, in the end, it's gonna be great, you know? So you just have to focus on being the best right from the beginning, so.
I was gonna ask, what made you keep going? Because I'm sure some people would have been like, I don't know, two people in a crowd, no, a lady picking her head at dinner.
You have to be insane. I'm not going to lie to you.
Delulu is the salulu.
You have to be delusional to be in this business.
So you guys would both look at each other, we're gonna make it someday. Like, it's, we're going
to
be,
I mean, the
huge
fact that someone paid us $200 to come and do a show in St. Louis, I was like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, it barely paid for the van, but it's, you have to have a vision, essentially. And be like, okay, there's a bigger goal here. We have to... Nobody plays, no one comes out the gate doing the Salt Shed or playing these bigger shows. You have to eat shit for a very long time.
You got
to
play Shubas before you can play the Salt Shed. No offense, I love Shubas.
Yeah, no, you
know,
we're not saying Shubas is shit. We're just saying you have to play smaller venues.
You have to play smaller venues. Venues. Like, we played cafes. We played smaller venues
because
we wanted to, you know, you have to earn your stripes. And especially in this business, you just got to really dedicate yourself through all the good and the bad. A lot of bad, more than good, you know?
I remember our first shows, people wouldn't stop talking, and Niall literally stopped the music. It was like, hey, she's singing over here. And everybody turned around, and then we started the song again.
That's so on brand for you. That is so on brand for you.
Isn't it?
I'm a protective older brother,
he
you
is,
know?
He is my older brother.
So I was going to say, was there a moment when you guys were like, hold on, like, did you guys feel like you had an I made it moment from those early shows where it was very little people?
What do you think? Blue Man Group in Vegas?
I mean, I feel like a lot of the shows, even if it was like 40, 50 people, just to get 40 people to come out and listen to you play is, I think it's an honor, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, of course, like, I've had my moments where, you know, we played like, play Coachella or like Lollapalooza, you know? But the trick is for me is I don't believe my own hype. So it's like, okay, it's just another show.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it my all and that's going to be that. I just don't really get caught up in the details of like, oh, it's Coachella or it's this or oh, it's that. Just have to just enjoy the moment, essentially. Yeah. And then, you know, that's it.
Waking up, we made it, you know? It's like, every morning we wake up, another day.
Yes, the Salt Shed today. You're like, we made it.
And we made it, exactly.
looking at the album and how long, you know, you guys said you put the most time and resources into this project than any other project.
Yeah.
How did you guys come up with the name Platonic Romance? I love the cover, by the way. The cover is so cool.
Thank you.
But what made you guys want to choose that name and then choose that song to stand out?
We came up with that in 2019. We were on tour with S.G. Lewis, and it was the first time that we did a tour where everybody on our crew and his crew were just really nice to each other. Like, oh, you need to use the green room for whatever. Like, we'll all get out so that you can do that. Oh, you need extra time? No problem. We'll do that. Like, everybody was just for the better of the show as opposed to, like, their own self. I don't know how to explain it, but it was really romantic. Everybody was just helpful and nice, and so we started saying it, and then over the years we realized that that's kind of just our life and our life with our friends. Like, we really love our friends, and I love this guy, and I thought it was the perfect time to do something for the besties, because I've been single a long time. And it was just really important for me to do that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked out. Like, I don't think that we had that title at the beginning. I had a lot of different titles, but that one felt right, and it was the right time to use it. So, yeah.
Definitely. One more time, clap for the platonic romances in your life.
Yes. Friendship is important.
Friendship lasts a lot longer than romantic relationships most of the time. Going back to the track list, I really love Long Night.
Oh.
It's really, really, like, I feel like today's one of those days where it's going to be a long night.
It is. I've been up since, now you don't want to know how long I've been up.
But in a good way, could you tell us the making of that track?
Oh my goodness.
Like, what aspect of it? Like, the entire, like, how we made the whole track
itself?
Yeah,
no, just how, you know, if you remember how you came about the lyrics. And
I know it was a completely different beat.
Yeah, so we, when we work on music, there's times where I cannot work in, like, a metropolitan area. I have to, like, go, like, in Chicago or like, yeah. L.A., I go to Greeley, Colorado. Yeah. Anybody knows where Greeley is? It's exactly. It's in the fucking middle of nowhere.
It's amazing.
And it's just a small town. Like, the biggest building is like a 3-story. You know, it's very small. And my friend Justin has a studio there. It's just a room with a piano and some instrumentation. And we go there and we write a lot of music there. We just, like, pour melodies and lyrics out into the world, you know. We just, like, record a bunch of stuff. And then we come back to Chicago and we keep it in the archive. And we pick out songs, you know, but that was one of them, and we started it there. The lyrics, I think, came when we were there, right? Lyrically?
I think so,
yeah.
But I don't remember.
No?
I really don't remember. I remember when we finished it.
We started it there. The beat was, I was feeling more like a disco vibe that morning or something like that. And
yeah.
Lyrically, like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you saying in that
what
song?
What am I talking
on?
About?
Long night, baby, this is every time, and it happens
so
every time.
So I feel like at the beginning, it felt like a sexy time song, and I was really, like, unsure and insecure about it because I don't write sexy time songs,
mm-hmm.
And it just felt kind of weird. And when he said he wanted to finish it, I was like, oh gosh, this is a lot of pressure, because, like, how do I finish this song? It already started off kind of risque, and now I gotta finish it. And so we decided to kind of change the narrative a little bit, so that's why the second verse is, like, I just want it to end, and it's more so about, like, how do you say? Like, when you know somebody so well that you just know when they're ready to leave the party, and, like, you're best friends with them. So it's like you see them and you're just like, oh shit, okay, they're ready to leave. Or they come over there and they put their hand, like, it's time to go. And that's, like, the first half. And the second half is about how, like, when, say, for instance, if you're with someone that you're dating and you get in an argument, and it's like, man, after the party, have you ever been, like, been to a party and then on the car ride home you get in an argument and it's like, fuck, I just want
I think
this
we've
to
all been there. I think we've all
be
been
over.
There.
We'd have all been there.
Yeah, so that was the idea, is to kind of combine them to where it's like a fun and free night, but also just like, fuck, this is going to be one of those nights where, like, Shorty got fucked up and now she's puking in the car. Shit like that. So I always try to add a little comedy into.
Yeah, we always try to, like, we try to push the boundary. Like, we always have conversations.
Oh yeah.
Prior to writing a song, you know, like we'll like talk about like if I something happened like in my love life or her love life, and like we kind of go back and forth and conversation based. And then Vio's really good at like taking the conversation and making it into like a song, essentially. So I'm sure it's a conversation of some sort.
Yeah.
Speaking of personal life, in a good way. I was gonna say a lot's happening. You guys, you know, made the album 2 years, and also you now have a baby, a 2-year-old baby. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I have a 2-year-old at home. Right now. It's a lot of work.
Shout out to all the dads out there.
He's a good dad.
How has that changed your viewpoint? Has it changed your viewpoint in making music? I know your daughter is on the album as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She does have a feature.
She's on track number 13. And I shared a lot of the music with her while making it, just to get her opinion and her vibe on it. Mm-hmm. Because the kid will tell you the truth, you know, if they're like not feeling it, not dancing to it, she's just like, this is not good. But it's definitely changed my life in so many amazing ways that I didn't know that a child could change your life. Like musically, I'm a lot more focused. There's an intention behind everything. I felt like I was working for myself before or for everybody else, and now I'm like working for her. I mean, not working for her, but working to make her life better, you know? And she just brings me joy, like selling out 100,000-person venue. It's like more gratifying than that, you know? I just can't really describe it. It's just like a love that I never knew that I needed. And it definitely shapes me and helps me every single day. I'm more conscious of the things that I say and things that I do, a lot more intentional. More so, because when you're like running wild on your own, it's like, who gives a fuck? But now it's like you have a kid who like looks up to you, and they, you know, and they respect you, and they want to, and everything that you do really matters, and they look at everything that you do. So just very proud to be a dad, and it's definitely pushed this album to where it is right now, I feel like, which is why I feel like it's our best album. You know, a lot more thought went behind it. And yeah, I don't know if that answered the question. But yeah.
No, that did.
But I'm a lot more fucking emotional. I'll tell you that. I just randomly cry. I cried on the way here. I was like, I'm so sad. But yeah.
I heard that it has to pass your daughter's test. These songs, you test them.
Yes, everything. The original test. She has to listen to a lot of the songs. I mean, she listened to Day by Day. No Pressure. She helped me with Long Night. She listened to Miss My Chance. She Via actually rewrote the lyrics to Make It Look Easy for Yara.
Because I thought it'd be fun for her to have a song to count along to. So the 1, 2, 3, Make It Look Easy, Baby Like Me. So it's like I'm talking to the baby, like Baby Like Me, so she can dance with us.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, she's a smart kid.
Good taste in music too.
Oh yeah.
Can we talk about track number 11, the Habibi song? How did that? I was very curious how this that guy came along.
This guy was like, we should do a song in Arabic. And I was like, I don't speak Arabic. Just trust me. Just trust me. Trusted him this long, so why not? I gave him a shot. I gave it a shot. I wrote the song in English as a poem. Mm-hmm. And then our friend's dad, who is a poet, actually translated it into Arabic, and it just so happened to work perfectly with the melody that I had already written. So it was pretty amazing. And we had to just cut it, 15 times before I got the lyrics right, because my pronunciation was like trying to speak Spanish. And I was like, this is not Spanish.
I was guessing my Arabic the entire time. I was like, do I even know how to speak Arabic? Because what's happening here? But yeah, I think it came together really well. And I wanted it to sound like she's not native to the language itself. I think that's what makes it really unique, you know? That was the main thing behind it. But I originally started that beat, believe it or not, I started that beat in 2012. Wow. I recorded a string section for an Arabic string that I wrote at the studio, and I had it recorded live and all that, and then I just couldn't come up with a beat for it. And then I just archived it, and then one day popped in my head. I was like, wait, I actually think this might work. And then rewrote it and reproduced it, and then had Via come in and write something to it. And it, I think, came out really well.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, how did the singing in a different language go for you? Like, how do you think you did pronunciation-wise?
At first, I was really nervous, and I was like, we should get somebody else to sing on top of it with me so that it sounds more professional. And he was like, no, 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 it's fine, it's fine. And now that we've been rehearsing it and I've been singing it like every day, I feel a little more confident.
Okay, no, I love that. going on, I know that when you guys make an album, when you guys have a project, they're all kind of like your babies. But do you guys have a special one you guys are really excited to perform live? Like one song that you're like, I honestly can't wait till we do this one on stage.
I mean, I think the Arabic one is going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I think that one's really fun.
Yeah, make some noise. Make some noise for that really quick.
I also really like Make It Look Easy because it's just fun. It's a really fun song.
Mm-hmm. The set has a lot of diverse songs. I mean, you have something from the new album, the old albums. It's going to be enjoyable for everybody.
Are we going to get Chicago tonight?
You have to wait and see.
Maybe.
I suggest do not leave the show before it's over. That's all I'm going to
say.
Don't leave before it's over.
Could you guys tell us if you have any relationship with your openers? You guys have some really cool openers. You have Meh.
Yeah.
How do you guys pick your openers for shows?
For the Chicago show specifically, we're really intentional. We want to combine old school and new school, homies, strangers, and just kind of like mix it up. So Meh, I met a while ago. She's a friend of a friend, and we just kind of hit it off. I thought she was amazing. So I really rooted for her to be one of our openers. And Blank Sense is one of Niall's friends from Miami, who's actually touring with us for the whole tour. And he does some of our remixes as well. So it's a really family-oriented situation.
It's pretty much bringing what drama sonically is. I tried, like, Felix the House Cat. Two years ago, we had Derek Carter.
Yeah.
These are people that I grew up, like, listening to.
Yeah.
And I try to always mix what drama sound is. If you listen to the album, it's not one genre all the way through. You have your dance tracks. You have your emotional tracks. You have No Pressure, which is a ballad. I mean, these songs are not supposed to go on an album together, but this is what drama's DNA is. Drama's DNA is dance, it is R&B, it is pop music. You know, these are the things that I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
This is things that she grew up writing and listening to as well. So it's like drama is your favorite artist all across the board, from Korn to Sade. I mean, these are on my playlist, so I'm sure everyone else kind of feels the same way. So
Limp
it's
Bizkit?
Like,
I love Limp Bizkit.
We don't put ourselves in a box. You should never put yourself in a box as an artist, because the industry will force you to have a genre. I've been to many label meetings. Every single label meeting is saying, you guys are pop, you guys are dance, you guys are R&B.
Everybody says something different.
There is no fucking genre. It's just good music at the end of the day, you know? That's what I focus on making, is good music. And that's the whole objective, you know?
Amen.
I was going to ask about that because, of course, reading so many articles, everyone describes you so many different ways. One article, like, almost every single genre was on there.
Yeah.
They're like dance, pop, EDM, fusion, soul.
They said like, bossa nova. I was like, what are you talking about? Okay, let's go.
I used to get really mad, and I was like, yeah, man, it's everything. It's whatever the fuck you wanted to be.
Whatever you wanted to
be. Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys have a name for the genre you like to be in? Or, again, you're like, you pick, whatever. We're going to make music.
We've been calling it electronic R&B. For a couple of years.
Yeah, electronic pop R&B.
Oh, I love that. So. I really love that.
Yeah.
Going back to the album, I know we've talked about a lot of these tracks. Is there one that you guys really enjoyed making that we haven't talked about yet? Is there like one that you were like, this, I can't wait to put this one on the album?
For me, it was No Pressure.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Was the last track.
No Pressure. That's like the world that
we live in,
honestly. Like, before I joined drama, that's the kind of music that I was making. That's the kind of music we listen to when we're driving. Just like super chill, relaxing, strings, you know.
Yeah.
We love the
choirs,
drama.
Yeah, you know.
You know what's really cool is that we're talking about all this music and then we're going to get to see it right now.
I know, right?
Like very shortly. But looking over the things that you guys have done, I mean, we've talked about it here. You guys have played like almost every venue in Chicago. You guys have done the festivals. You guys have been on the road with like Coldplay, like Gorgon City. Like you guys have kind of done a lot of almost everything. Is there one more thing you guys like? Is there one more goal you guys want to obtain? Like, is it collaborating with someone? Is it playing a certain festival? Is there something you guys haven't achieved? Because you guys have achieved so much.
I don't even know. Yeah. I just for me, just continuing to work hard.
Yeah.
Push forward. Expect nothing, and just push forward. You know.
Show up.
That's it. And just work hard. That's it. And show up.
And we're having this amazing Q&A right now. And then you guys have to do your own pre-rituals to get ready to go on stage. Do you guys, I know there's some artists that they like to mix and mingle. Some artists like to like meditate or be alone. What do you guys need to do before you go on stage to get your head in the game, get it clear?
I think this might be the first time where we actually have a pre-ritual. Before, we would just raw dog it and just be like, whatever, coffee shots before we get on stage, high five, let's go. And now, you know, I've got a couple of things. I've been taking Tai Chi.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Lots of stretching, vocal warm-ups, and a little meditation now. I know we talked about doing that before the show. A little prayer. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Not too much.
And then you guys, of course, this is kicking off your tour. You guys are going to be on the road for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And are you guys just now focusing all of your energy on shows and touring the album? Do you guys make music while you tour? Some people don't. Some people do.
We have a studio in the tour bus, so yes.
Do you really? Yeah. Oh, make some noise for that. They have a studio in the tour bus.
Always working.
Always.
So you guys are already, you know, kind of maybe like if the next project comes together.
There will be another project being
made. There's already
on this bus.
Projects that are ready to come out. But, you know, we just have to organize everything.
You just can't stop working in this industry, in this business. I'm sure you guys all understand. It's just you have to, if you're trying to reach greatness and you're trying to reach a different level, there is no balance. Mm-mm. It's you have to keep pushing and working, and it's just the name of the game, you know? So that's the world that I come from. I know Via's like, fuck, I don't want to work, but.
I don't have anything else to say, but there's always something to say. And it gets hard sometimes though, because I feel like you put all this work into an album and then people listen to it. And then as soon as the last track ends, you're like, okay, now when's the next album coming out? And I was like, dang, I got to get my heart broken again for another album. Like, come on, man, I'm still healing.
Really quick, is there, before we wrap this up so you guys can get ready for the show, we are in a room full of a bunch of your fans. Is there anything special you want to say to everyone in here?
Thank you so much for being here. Honestly, appreciate we would not be able to do any of this without you.
Yeah.
And doing stuff like this makes us feel a lot more connected to everybody.
Absolutely.
And it also reminds us that not only are we connected, you guys are all connected now too. This is the Drama Club. It's not just for say, like, we're here for each other. So make friends, mingle.
Appreciate
everybody
you
here
guys.
Knows what it's like to be heartbroken. Everybody here knows what it's like to be stood up and, you know, be platonically romantic with each other.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I personally, I just, it's fucking crazy. I have fans. I have people who like look up to the music that we make, and it's wild to see and to hear and to read the letters that we get and the emails, and it's just, it's like, it's mind-blowing, because the intention is to make good music that moves people. You're not, like, I never got into this to be rich or famous or whatever maybe. I truly got into this and dedicated my whole life to this business because I really enjoy making music, you know? And the fact that people out there buy tickets to come to our show or to buy merch, I mean, you have no idea how much that supports us. And we're fully independent. Like, there is no, like, guy in the office funding our tours.
No.
This all comes internally. This all comes from us working hard, budgeting and saving our money and living off of crumbs for a very long time, you know? And it just means a lot because you guys are supporting us. You guys are all here. I mean, I'm mind blown that there's people in this room right now asking us questions. It's fucking crazy, you know? But I'm so honored. So, and I appreciate you guys so much.
Well, I think everyone in here is so excited to see the show tonight. This is a crazy lineup. This is going to be an amazing night. Yeah. And also, you know, you guys have to be an amazing band for people to come out in 8-degree weather.
Yes, negative. Well,
like,
negative.
Literally.
This is Chicago, baby. This is bare weather.
So we're so excited to see the show. Thank you again to Jack Daniels for supporting music in spaces like this. I'm Nudia from Vocalo, and give it up one last time for Drama.
It's outside if you hear me. Make some noise for your city.
This segment was hosted by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Sioka. Keep up with Vocalo at vocalo.org, on Instagram at Vocalo, or on TikTok at vocalo.radio. It's from Chicago.